Prayer is that you would be exalted in this service. Holy Spirit, that you would guide my words this morning, that there would be a special anointing and eyes would be open. May your will truly be done in this service time now. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, good morning, and I was trying to let me just say that this is going to be a pretty heavy message this morning, and I just got to do what the Lord gives me, okay? And if you would, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, and I've felt the weight of this message, if that makes sense or not. It's a serious message, and I'm going to try and just... You guys know that's been coming here for very long. I use a lot of scripture in all my sermons because God's word is what matters, not what my commentary on it is. And the power is in God's Word. You look at what's going on in our world, and I think a lot of people aren't looking at things in a spiritual way. They're not seeing things in a spiritual way. And so, Mark chapter 5, verse 2, it says, When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. I'm trying not to jump in too much there, but for some reason, there's a lot of people with cutting problems. You know, this man cut himself. What was going on with this man? He was possessed. You know, I think that there's so much spiritual warfare going on for each one of us, me, for you. And I think sometimes we don't even realize the things that we're doing, that it can be very demonic based. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the nearby hillside. The demon begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people who what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. I know that was kind of lengthy reading. There's more. There's more coming. The other night, I like to sit outside and watch stars. Does anybody else like to do that and look for shooting stars and everything? And the other night, me and Crystal was in the backyard, and we got these reclining lawn chairs just sitting there staring at the stars, looking for a shooting star. I hadn't seen one in a while, and I still didn't see one. But I just began to think how beautiful those stars are at night. I mean, there's some nights that it's just gorgeous. It's like there's so many stars. But you know what's funny is at noon the next day, if I look up, I don't see any. Has anybody ever seen stars in the daytime? You might have seen a planet or something. Sometimes I'll see the moon, you know. But it's not like at night when it's dark and you can see all those stars and how beautiful they are. But you know what? In the daylight, are the stars gone? No, they're still there. You just can't see them. Y'all, what was taking place in Jesus' day and time, it's not gone. Just many of us don't see it. Many of us don't recognize the spiritual warfare that's going on, the demonic battle that's taking place in our country right now. Go over to Mark chapter 9, just a few pages over here. Mark 9, verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed and wondered and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." You know what I today, if you talk about demons or the spiritual realm, and people act like you're crazy, they act like you're a kook or something, and what are you talking about? And here they even recognize that there was a demon, but they couldn't drive him out, and he's saying, "Oh, unbelieving, perverse generation." And I wonder today if Satan has fooled so many of us to say this stuff isn't real, so we don't even try and drive out anything because we don't even believe it's real to begin with. We don't even recognize what's going on around us. Verse 20. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." I think it's important. The other demon, what? He would cut himself. He would harm himself. This one, what was he doing? Trying to throw him into the water, trying to throw him into the fire, trying to kill him, trying to destroy him. That's what Satan wants to do with you. That's what Satan wants to do with me, is to destroy us, is to kill us. And he doesn't, he's lurching and he's crafty and he's sneaky and he's not being blatant about it. And that's how he's getting into so many of our homes. That's how he's getting into so many of our lives, to destroy us. And that's his goal, is to destroy you and me. The Father said, "If you can do anything." In verse 23, Jesus says, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." I think of that verse a lot for myself. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Lord, I know you're capable of whatever the circumstance is, but Father, I don't know why I'm not seeing this outcome. Help me with my unbelief, because I struggle with that. When Jesus saw the crowd running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." I told y'all this was a heavy topic today, and I'm sorry for all of our guests. I couldn't be all joyous and happy today and encouraging today, but y'all, what's going on in our world? What's going on in your homes? What's going on in your life? Y'all, I got to tell you, when I was studying this and preparing for this message, I had fear come over me. You guys might say, "Why, Pete?" Because Satan doesn't want this message preached. He doesn't. And I thought, is he going to try and take me out? And he's been tormenting me. Because Satan wants to stay in the shadows. He wants to stay hidden. He doesn't want us to recognize what is going on in our world, in our society. And Jesus cast out this demon. In Hosea 4:6, he says, "My people are destroyed," or King James says, "perish from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I have also rejected you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children." My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. we're destroyed from a lack of knowledge, a lack of insight, a lack of seeing what's really going on in this world, what's really going on in our homes and in the television that we watch and the music that we listen to and what we allow our kids to take in and what we take in ourselves, even in the news media and things that we think are okay and good and we're just getting informed. And Satan can be creeping into that and causing anger, causing discord, causing jealousy, causing fear. And he's tormenting us. And it's a spiritual battle. But many times we look at the president, we look at the congressman, we look at our representatives and we say, oh, this person's doing this and this person's doing that, but who's pulling the strings there causing that? The protests and the riots and the anger and even the killing of innocent. What's really causing all that? Spitting. What's really causing all that? What's behind it? Is it just some idiot that's decided, well, I'm mad at the world, I'm gonna go shoot up a Walmart, go shoot up a school? See, I think many times it's demonic and it's demon-based, but we don't talk about that in the news. We don't want to say that. Even in our churches today, we don't want to talk about, and people are being destroyed. People are perishing because of lack of knowledge. We don't even realize what we're bringing into our homes, what we're bringing into our lives. Ephesians 6, and most of y'all know these verses, the armor of God, but I just want to read the first 3:10-13, Ephesians 6:10-13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In His mighty power. Not in my power, not in my might, but in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Do we even recognize that the devil's scheming to destroy us? You know, and when I used to play football, we had this block that we would do. It was called a crackback. And when the receiver was out, and you'd get out as wide as you could, and as soon as the ball was snapped, you'd run full speed as fast as you could, and you'd try and take the linebacker out. And because what's the linebacker doing? He's watching the play, and he's moving. And it was called a crackback because you'd come and hit them from the side and they never saw you coming. And a lot of times those linebackers were big old boys. And a littler receiver, though, because they wouldn't see it coming, could hit them. If they didn't knock them over, it would hold them up enough to keep them from being able to make the tackle. But now you take a good linebacker, and if he sees the hit coming, what would he normally do? He'd take that little receiver and just go, shh. And that little receiver goes, oh, fly him right by him. And because he saw the attack coming. The devil's scheming. The devil's scheming. Do we see, do we recognize that the attacks are coming? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we say, I believe the Word of God. I think everybody in here, if you're here this morning, you probably believe the Word of God. And we like to believe Jesus' blood washes away our sins. And I believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus paid the sacrifice for mine and your sin on the cross. We like to believe that there's a heaven. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Let's talk about heaven and how great that's going to be. But you know, I know people who claim to be Christians say they don't believe in hell. So do we believe all the Bible or not? And so we believe all the Bible, we believe all the good stuff. Jesus loves us, Jesus cares for us, that there's heaven awaiting for those who are faithful. But here he's telling us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. No, there's a spiritual battle going on for your life, for my life, and for our country right now. And what are we doing about it? Are we getting angry, or are we joining in with everybody else, or are we praying? What did Jesus tell His disciples? You couldn't cast out this demon because this kind only comes out by prayer. I had two sermons this morning, and I almost preached the other one, but this one just kept coming back, so the other one's going to get preached hopefully next week. But just talking about the deliverance and what God's people need to be doing if we want to see this world delivered, if we want to see this country delivered. But He said this kind only comes out by prayer, but we're perishing because of lack of knowledge, because we don't understand that our battle is in a spiritual way. It's not in everything that we see going on. I'm going to read verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. I preached not too long ago, I think, on the armor of God, so I'm not going to go further, but maybe you need to mark this in your Bible. Maybe you need to go home and you need to study that out and understand what the full armor of God is for your life and for my life. But we, as believers, we really need to begin to stop and recognize what's going on around us. What's going on with that coworker that always seems to cause you strife, that always seems to cause you hurt? What's going on with that child that seems so rebellious? What's going on with that husband that just continues to rub you the wrong way, or that wife that just something's there? There's a barrier. There's something there. And I challenge you to even begin to examine, why am I asking this? Why am I doing this? Father, is this of You? Because what can happen so often is we can just be nonchalant talking and going and having us a good old time and not thinking about spiritual things, not thinking about the Lord, and something that we say can totally mess up someone's day, can totally mess up someone's walk. Can someone says, I know Pete, he's a Christian, and he just said this, and it hurt my feelings so bad. You guys say, Pete, what are you talking about? You got to be that cautious. Yes, we need to begin to be that cautious. We need to begin to have the mind of Christ. How many times have I talked about the mind of Christ and taking every thought captive? And where does our words begin? It begins in our mind, and it begins in what's coming out. And to examine ourselves and say, Father, am I recognizing the battle that's going on? Back to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to read two verses here. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. It says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through a ride, places seeking rest and does not find it. You guys getting what I'm reading here today? Demons, evil spirits. It's all throughout the Bible. I'm not making this up. It's real. When it says, it does not find it, then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds a house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. Y'all, what this verse tells me is that I need to be filling my life with God, with His Word, with prayer, with the Holy Spirit, because I don't want the times that I mess up the most is idle times. The times I'm all by myself, the times that I don't have anything to do. And you know what? I don't read my Bible, and I'm just going to kick back and watch TV, or I'm even going to scroll through and see what the newest headlines are. And that's the times that Satan gets me the most, y'all. And what I'm telling you today is the Word of God says that the evil spirit came out. Maybe you've been delivered from something this morning. Hopefully you've been delivered from something this morning. But if you've been delivered this morning, are you filling yourself back with the Word of God? Because if we're not, you think Satan's going to give up on you? He's not. He's going to continue and continue and continue to hit you till he destroys you. They're going to keep coming back and back and back. And are they going to find you swept clean and pretty and nice and say, but he's not really full of anything? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Famous actress died this last week or the week before, I'm not sure which, but she was of a different religion. For some reason, I've always been curious about like this religion and what these people believe, and I was reading a little bit about it, and they believe little aliens are in their bodies. I ain't kidding. And they go through all these different stages and everything, and they have these aliens in their body that's causing disease, and so they need to meditate and do these different things to get these aliens out of their body. Huh? Test the spirits. You guys say, that's ridiculous. But you know what? Some people's looking at us saying, it's ridiculous that you believe that a man hung on a cross 2,000 years ago and that he died and that he came back to life. Oh, that's just old folk tales. That's just, you know, we need to be testing the spirits and test what we're listening to, what we're allowing into our lives, even in church. You need to be testing your preacher. Y'all need to be following what I'm saying. I used to always tell the youth when years ago that, would you trust me to hold you by your fingertips off of a 100-story building? If you are, you're an idiot, but you're trusting me with even more than that by not opening up your Bible and following along with what I'm telling you. Because you need to keep me in check. We need to be testing the spirits and making sure what we're hearing is good. Verse 2 says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Hey, there's good news. We've overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who lives in the world. If I've filled you with fear this morning, right there, grab hold of that verse, because the one that is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. Verse 5, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Y'all, when I was reading this, the main reason why I wanted to read it is for you to understand that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But I also want you to understand, sometimes when people you see our leaders of our country, you see people in authority, and you say, how can they not have common sense? How can they not see things the way that I see them? Does anybody ever look around and go, has everybody lost all their common sense and that just things that make sense to me? They don't have the same spirit we have. They don't. They don't have the same spirit we have. And maybe that's why things seem to make sense to us that doesn't make sense to anyone else. I'm not telling you all this to instill fear in you this morning. I'm not telling you all this to have you leave here and never come back and say, that Pete's crazy. I'm telling you all this because it's truth. And we need to recognize truth. We need to understand that there's war going on for you and for me. And I want you to go back to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to finish up pretty much here. And these verses have been on my mind for probably a month. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, it says, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he says, I will set up my camp in such and such place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Armenians are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king, so that he was on his guard in such places. See what he's saying? He's telling the king, hey, be careful. Your enemy is going to be camped there. Go this way or go that way. Avoid the enemy. Verse 11, this enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officials and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers, but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. God's listening. God's relaying and telling him, warn him. Warn him where the enemy's going to be. I don't know about y'all, but that's who I want on my side. That's who I want on my side. My God that can warn me. My God that can give me notice. My God that can tell me. Verse 13, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Anybody right now going, God, what are we going to do? Look at our country. It's in chaos. Look at our lives. They're in chaos. Look at, well, how do we fix it? I don't got the answer on how to fix a lot of these problems other than Jesus. That's my only answer. I don't know how to fix unemployment. I don't know how to fix welfare. I don't know how to fix immigration. I don't. But other than praying and crying out to Jesus and having Him take control, and sometimes it does seem like we're just surrounded. We have this huge army surrounding us. But verse 16, don't be afraid, the prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. God, that's amazing to think about. God's protection in the spiritual realm. Elijah seen it and he says, you know what? I ain't worried. God's got my back. If you could only see what I see. Y'all, we got in the discussion in our men's group a few weeks ago. Someone shared where their children had gifts where they could see the different things in the spiritual realm. I don't have that gift, but I believe it's real. And I believe there's a battle going on for you and for me. You know, Saturday morning, I woke up at 6:30, wide awake. I don't want to get up at 6:30 on Saturday. Who wants to get up at 6:30 on Saturday? I laid there and laid there and laid there. Finally, quit fighting and got up out of bed. You know what time I got up at this morning? 9:00, and I was still hitting snooze. But I got something to do today. I didn't have anything to do yesterday. That doesn't make sense. Is it not hard sometimes to get to church? Is it not hard to know that you need to be here? But, oh, I can just miss this Sunday. It's no big deal. I can just miss that meeting. I can just miss that Bible study. Oh, I'm too tired to open up my Bible before I go to sleep. I just can't make myself wake up early enough before work to open up my Bible. My lunch break, well, I only get 20 minutes. I only get 30 minutes. I got to eat and I can't read my Bible. I don't have time to pray during the day. Those are little excuses that we make, but I don't think we realize the battle that's maybe even causing us to make those decisions. Y'all, God's army is so great and so powerful, we don't have to fear. But we do need to recognize the battle. We do need to recognize the war that we're in our personal lives, in our homes, and for our country. I told y'all this. When Ravi Zacharias died, many of y'all remember I went back and got Hayden's phone because he'd sent it to me. But Ravi, you guys remember, was their car broke down, and they tried to flag down a Jeep to help them, and the Jeep just went on by and didn't stop. And they finally got their car going, got down the road a few miles later, and the Jeep is overturned, riddled with bullets, and the people were all dead in that Jeep. And Ravi said of that, God will stop our steps when it is not our time, and He will lead us when it is. Y'all, that so stuck with me. Do we trust that God's got us? That God's in control, and there's nothing that we can do to prolong our day. Some of us are so full of fear. We're so full of fear. With this COVID, with everything else, we're so full of fear. But do we trust that God's army is greater? Now, you guys remember when it's on tape and it's in on our website. You can go back and look. When all this started, I said difference between fear and wisdom and being full of the Holy Spirit and having wisdom. I'm not telling you to just cast off everything today and just live like an idiot. That's not what I'm saying. You pray and you ask God for guidance and you ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. But trust that you're in His hands. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Understand we're in a spiritual battle right now. But understand that God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And I pray for Your protection over this body, over our family, over our friends. Lord, and I pray that each of us, our eyes would be open. Understand what we're participating in, what influences we're under, and understand, is it of You or is it of the enemy? Lord, that we would begin to recognize things that are harmful to us, things that are harmful to our testimony, to our family, to our friends, and that we would recognize that Satan's trying to destroy us, Lord, and that we would repent of that we would turn from that, and that You would give us strength, that You would give us deliverance. But Father, I pray that every one of our eyes would be open this morning, that we would understand what was taking place then. It's still taking place today. That we wouldn't discard it, that we wouldn't say that's something of the past, that we would understand that there's a very real spiritual battle going on for each and every one of us. I pray for deliverance now. Lord, may nobody leave here fearful, but may we understand that You are with us and You are greater. That Your armies are surrounding us, that Your armies are protecting us. When we walk seeking You, full of Your Holy Spirit. Father, may Your will be done now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all of my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then You looked at this prisoner and say to me, child, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be. The old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life. I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free.
I hope everybody can make it back next week. Lord willing, I'll be here. And I really feel like the Lord's been talking to me about us as Christians and what we need to be doing in this climate that we're living in. And so thank you to our guests that were here today. And if you can't be here next week, come Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe even Friday, it will be posted, okay? Sometime in the week, it'll be posted. And if you need that link, we can give it to you. Family member can give it to you. But y'all, let's be aware of our surroundings and aware of the battle for your life and for my life. So God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.